Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, today I am fortunate to have a special guest who hails from sunny Townsville, North Queensland, Australia. She is Meredith Swift. Meredith was born and raised in rural Victoria, Australia, the fourth of five children. She has traveled and lived in many different places, both in Australia and overseas. After accepting Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior in 2010, Meredith began establishing a close personal relationship with him. In times of joy and in times of huge challenge, she learned to lean in close to Jesus and regularly communicated with him, writing down his words of comfort and encouragement. And with his help, Meredith embraced her gifting as a writer and published her first in 2017. She teaches kindergarten part-time, loves her two daughters and friends, her animals, two cats and a golden retriever named Tessie, cooking, walking in nature, traveling, reading, and participating in the life of her church. It is Meredith's deepest desire that all should come to know the transforming love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are about to find out more. So welcome to the network, Meredith.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I'm so happy and honored to be here.
I feel the same about you. Thank you for calling in all the way from Australia.
Yes.
We did it.
Yes, we did.
Well, as I studied you and your website and your work, such a transformation and a journey that you've taken, maybe give us a little personal background.
Okay, well, I'm 57 years old at the moment, and when I was in my 20s, I was very much into the New Age. So I had my own healing business in the New Age. I did tarot card readings, massage, healing, alternative healing, all sorts of things to do with the New Age. And I established my own business with that. And I probably did New Age maybe for about 8 years full on. And then I, you know, decided that I wanted to have a child and that I wanted to have a husband, not necessarily in that order. So I ended up, I went on a Himalayan trek and I did a Buddhist meditation retreat. And shortly after I came home from that retreat, I met the man who was to become my husband and the father of my two daughters. However, the marriage was very, very difficult, and there was a lot of, you know, quite a lot of domestic violence. And a lot of drug and alcohol abuse on the part of my ex-husband. So, you know, it was a very difficult time. The marriage spanned probably 20 years on and off. I left my husband probably half a dozen times and went back to him each time. Anyhow, we had gotten married in about 1994, and in 2009, my mum passed away, so I'd been married quite a number of years by then. And I had been working at that stage with a colleague who was a born-again Christian, and he used to speak to me about Jesus, and I remember thinking, you know, I'd really like to have what she has. And he used to say to me, it's a relationship. It's not so much religion, it's relationship. Anyhow, when my mum passed away, I went down to her funeral because I was in Queensland and my mum was in Victoria. She lived in Victoria, and I went down to her funeral, and the priest who was conducting the funeral, I remember meeting him and thinking, you know, what a lovely man he was. And I thought, you know, if there was a church like the church where he was, back in Queensland, I would go to church. I remember thinking it. Anyhow, I came back to Queensland, and, you know, was pretty shattered after Mum passed away. And my friend, you know, the born again Christian friend, you know, she kept speaking to me, and anyway, he said to me, look, you know, just come home and have a cup of tea and we'll pray. And anyhow, so I went back to her home and we prayed, and I ended up accepting the Lord Jesus into my heart, and that was early 2010. And I remember the day that it happened, I didn't actually feel that much different. And I remember driving home, and on the way I said to Jesus, to God, if you're real, can you show me a sign, you know? So I got home, and my younger daughter, who was about 13 at the time, she got home from school, and she said to me, Mum, guess what happened to me today? And I said, oh, I don't know what happened. And she said, well, these people came to my school from the Gideon's Bible Society, and they gave me a Bible, and I said a prayer that was at the back of the Bible. And I said, oh, wow. I said, well, guess what happened to me today? And I proceeded to say to her what had happened, and then I got on the phone to my friend Dean, and I said to her, well, you know, I asked God for a sign, and I think I just got my sign, so what do I do now? And she encouraged me to, you know, to seek out a good church, and, you know, I really truly believe the Lord sets everything up, because there was a couple in my kindergarten class, their son was in my class, and the husband was a pastor, so I ended up connecting in with him and his wife and their church. So that was 2010, and then in 2011, where I was living, I was still married to my ex-husband at this stage, and I'd been praying, like, solidly for a year, look, Lord, just, you know, can you make me into the wife that my husband, you know, that he needs, because, you know, still there was a lot of violence. I couldn't really talk about my faith, so I had to hide it, you know. Anyhow, there was a cyclone, quite a substantial cyclone. I think they call them typhoons or hurricanes. It was a very big cyclone. And probably 2 days before this cyclone, which was Cyclone Yasi, was due to hit where I live, Townsville, my husband, my ex-husband, you know, basically went on a really terrible bender. And, you know, without going into too many details, you know, I ended up, yeah, not in good shape. And I remember I heard, I believe truly it was the voice of God, very loud, saying, this stops now. And I ran out of the house, I ran across the road to my neighbour, and anyway, the police came and took, you know, my husband away, and my girls and I, we went to a refuge. So anyhow, the marriage was over then, definitely it was over, and I never went back to him. So God gave me that strength to finally break through of that web of just going backwards and forwards and feeling so trapped. And so really my new life began in 2011. And so I'll fast forward a little bit, because for the next 3 or 4 years or so, I really spent just getting, you know, really going to church, reading the Bible, you know, just really just journeying with Jesus, and really just it was quite amazing to me how he could help me and be with me. So around about 2015, which is the year before I wrote the book, my daughter, my older daughter, who has quite a severe disability, she has autism and she doesn't speak, and so she, you know, she requires quite a lot of care. And the people who were supporting her in the town where I lived, they couldn't support her anymore. Her needs were too high, so they ended up needing to move to Townsville, which is a much bigger city. And, you know, I was basically kicking and screaming, but I knew that I had to do it. And I thought, oh, I've got no friends, you know, this and that. Anyhow, I moved to Townsville, and it was a great move. I connected into a really great church. I started making friends. And Sarah got some really great support. That's my older daughter, my daughter. And, Let me think. Yeah, 2016, early 2016, things were going great. Everything was going fantastic. And I'd started to write a book about my time in the New Age. And, you know, it was a bit of a struggle to write this book. And anyway, I kept persevering. And around about the time where I started to be about halfway through the book, Sarah became very, very ill. It was one thing after another. And really, she was, apart from her disability, she's a very healthy, robust young woman. And she took to her bed and she wouldn't get out of bed. She wouldn't eat. She, you know, she basically slept. It was a very difficult thing to witness, and none of the doctors could find out what the matter with Sarah was. And I was just distraught. I felt really alone. I was angry at God. It was like, why, you know, why is this happening to Sarah? You know, you can do it to me. I realized it wasn't God, it was the enemy, but it didn't make it, I didn't feel any better. I felt really so isolated and alone. I didn't feel like I could talk to anyone. Housebound with Sarah, and just, yeah, it was very, very challenging and very hard. And I remember just getting to a point where I thought, I'm just so alone, I've got to go and see the counselor at the church who works with, you know, like he will speak and, you know, get you to connect with Jesus in a very personal way. So I went along to him, you know, I spoke to him and Jesus came. And after we'd done the counselling session, he said to me, look, he said, I normally don't say this to anyone, he said, but what I want you to do, I want you to go home and I want you for 7 times a day for the next 21 days, it was really specific, I want you to speak to Jesus like you did today in the session, and I want you to write down the words that he speaks to you. Anyhow, I thought, okay, I didn't sort of think about how that was going to happen. But, you know, I had the prayer that I was going to say and you know, and I was going to meet Jesus in a garden, because that's how it was in the session, the counselling session. So off I went home, and because Sarah was, you know, she was sleeping, I was actually able to start scheduling his times in. And, yeah, what happened was quite amazing, because I would sit down in front of my PC, I would close my eyes, and Jesus would come, I'd say the prayer, Jesus would come, and I would write down the words he spoke, and he spoke to me about all sorts of stuff to comfort me, really to comfort me, to let me know I wasn't alone, to encourage me, to say he would never forsake me, he would never forsake Sarah, a lot of different things. I never knew what we were going to talk about, but it was always just really, just profound, you know. And about halfway through the process of these 21 days, he spoke to me and he said, this is your book. And I just thought, oh, wow, you know, because actually just about, yeah, I'll backtrack just a tiny bit. The other book that I was writing, he'd spoken to me just before I went to the counselor and said, look, no, this isn't your book. I want you to stop writing this book. And I'd been like, okay, wasn't happy, but I'll do it. So anyway, when he said to me that this, the book, the encouragement book, the devotional book is your book, it was just incredible. And so I ended up finishing the book in probably a month, just over 21 days, because there was a couple of little stops and starts, but I pretty much kept to the schedule that, you know, I'd been, you know, I'd been given to do. And he gave me the publishing, the way I was to publish. He put the people in my path, Jesus. He gave me the cover of the book. It was like the most effortless book, the most transforming journey, I think, that I just could not have imagined. And at the end of it, I'd gone from having a relationship, I really had a revelation of his love. And so he brought me out of a time that was so, I was so desperate, so isolated, so lonely, and so bereft with what my daughter was going through. to just this time. I mean, and Sarah ended up getting well. And, yeah, it was just amazing. So I ended up, I published the book probably the next year, 2017. So that is what I can tell you at this stage.
Oh, my gosh. Meredith, I'm glad that you were able to share that backstory with us, because it actually is the story that answers the question, how did you come to write your book? And so the title of the book is Hearing His Voice, Meeting Jesus in the Garden of Promise, A Devotional Journey of Encouragement. And it really was a journey of healing for you. What a profound story and a life journey for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And most of it, you know, I really can't even put into words. It was that profound. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I understand that. I mean, you're saying it to us in a matter of 15 minutes, but to think that you had to live through all of those days and years and moments of that to come out in a positive way. Now, you say in the foreword of your book, and I think this is interesting, that you didn't grasp onto him to save you, but rather accepted him and he saved you. And I think that's very important.
Yes, yes. Because when I accepted him into my life, you know, my mum had died and I was searching for something, but I didn't know the transforming power that he had, so that he has, you know, available. And so he saved me. He has transformed every part of my life. And so that's really that's all I could say.
Well, that's plenty to say. That's plenty to say. You know, as I'm thinking of your story, I'm thinking that more people than ever, I would imagine, just because of what's going on in our society and all the changes that we're seeing with technology, where people are becoming a lot more isolated, people feel lost and isolated, tired and stressed. Mm-hmm. And so they listen to your story and they think, that's fine, that happened to her. But what advice can you give to others who are just feeling that sense of loneliness and lost and hurt? How can they have a similar journey and path? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say to them, first of all, that the enemy, who, you know, is Satan, he loves secrecy. He loves us to feel isolated. That's his plan for our lives. And what I would say to people, first of all, if they don't have a faith, that they, you know, they consider Jesus, because he is the creator, he is the transformer, he's the healer, the redeemer. But, you know, coming from my own testimony, I could not have imagined just what he could actually do in a life like mine, because I thought, I'm not a good person. I've done so much stuff. And what I would say to people is, you know, if they do have a faith, is to lean in close to Jesus, speak to him like a friend, speak to him regularly, you know, pray, but just most important, trust him with your deepest, I mean, he knows our hearts so intimately. And, you know, I felt very angry towards him, but it's like, and in the book, you know, we speak about this as well. He spoke to me. It's okay to be angry with him. He wants all of us. He knows us, but he wants that relationship. He yearns for us because he doesn't force. Jesus is all about free will. I mean, he is the creator, but we come to him. We have to come to him freely, which is, it's quite a profound paradox, but that is his nature. And so that is what I would say to people, you know, to lean in. To do it freely and to speak to him as though he is your most trusted friend, because that's who he is. And to surround yourself, if you do have a faith, with a church family, because they, you know, they want to help. They, you know, they model Christ and, you know, we work together and, yeah, so that's what I would say, Pat.
Yeah, I think that's a good piece of advice, is to surround yourself with like-minded people. I was thinking about your involvement all those years with the New Age philosophy and that point of view, and perhaps that lent you to be a little bit more receptive. So then you're writing a second book, and it's titled From New Age to New Creation.
Yes.
Yeah, give us a peek into that.
Well, this book is, as I said before, that's the book I was writing before hearing his voice, and it's my testimony. So it's my journey from how I came from being in New Age and what New Age gave me, because without a doubt, New Age did give me, you know, some amazing experiences. But it's how I came out of the New Age, you know, what led me to come out of the New Age, which was really the dark season of my marriage, you know, and the pain, and the New Age, it didn't help me anymore. I got to a point where it wasn't for me anymore. And you know, it's like slowly, slowly God was opening my heart to him, because I just thought, oh, Christianity, you know, that's boring. I really did. I'd never considered Jesus. I didn't realize that he, you know, I knew he'd died on the cross, but I didn't think about that he'd risen again. I just didn't think about Jesus, basically. And you know, so when I met Jesus, you know, he ticked all the boxes for me as I journeyed with him, because he's tailor-made. He's for each of us in the way that is unique to our own journey. And like that, like, he was better than the coach that I had in New Age. He was like, he just ticked all the boxes. And so, yeah, it is my testimony. And, yeah, just presenting both of those ways of living and of being, and yeah, just presenting that to people and why, you know, why Jesus still continues to tick the boxes for me.
Wow. So yeah. When is that book coming out?
Well, I'm hoping to finish that book by probably the middle of May, and then it'll get formatted and edited. So probably I'm thinking June or July.
Mm-hmm.
It will come out, yeah.
Okay. All right. From New Age to New Creation by Meredith Swift. And what's next then? Is there another book to follow?
Well, there's a couple of other books. At least there's one coming up called Heart for Women, which is another devotional type of story. And another devotional, just like a daily devotional where, you know, you speak to me each day and I'll write that down. So. Yeah, a couple more books at least to come out.
Right, you've got lots more
to. The books of encouragement. Like, that seems to be where Jesus wants me to go. The books of encouragement, because I believe everyone needs encouragement, especially in the era where we live, where there's so much, you know, discouragement and you know, it's a hurting world in so many ways.
Absolutely, absolutely. We need more people like you spreading messages as we are today. And I read your recent blog post, and I just was captivated by that, Weeding My Garden. To me, that was a gift from you to your readers. It's very insightful and timely. So, yeah, just share a bit about that, because it touched me.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad about that. Okay, so in Townsville, it's quite a dry place, sunny North Queensland, and we've had a drought maybe for a couple of years. And anyway, then earlier this year, it started to rain, and it rained for about 2 weeks, and so, which was so, we're all so thankful for. And at the end of the 2 weeks, I looked out at my garden, and the grass was waist high, and the flowers looked good, and the trees, everything beautiful. But the weeds, there were lots and lots and lots of weeds, and I thought, oh, I've got to go weed that garden. And so down I went, because I live in a high-set house, because, you know, that's how they are in Townsville. And I went to my garden, and anyway, I started, and I do actually like to weed. I find it very relaxing and quite meditative to weed. And so I started to grasp the weeds and pull them out and work quite systematically. And I started thinking, you know, about, you know, how life, you know, when you go through hard times, if you can work with the hard times, it becomes easier. And just like a weed, like the weeds that I was pulling were saturated and they were able to be pulled out very easily. And I thought, you know, when the time is right, the weeds come out easily. When the lesson is ripe to be learned, it's quite an easy lesson. We don't have to struggle. We just have to work with And my perspective is obviously Jesus. Work with Jesus to for those times in life where you do things easily. If you try to pull the weeds when the ground is cracked and barren and dry, it's a struggle. And basically, you know, when I've tried to do it that way, I give up pretty easily. But it's much easier to work with those weeds, get them out. And it's like the thoughts in our mind. Those thoughts that clog up our minds are like weeds, you know, and we examine our thoughts and you know, the Bible has lots of stuff about examining our thought life and we pull those weeds out that are, you know, not good thoughts, not pure thoughts, thoughts from the enemy which clog our thinking. And so, yeah, that was the basis for the blog post. This thing about weeding the garden became this whole train of thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it when it's, you know, the right time and weeding those thoughts out of our minds that aren't good, that are like weeds. Because a weed is a noxious plant and we don't want them, but, you know, they grow very prolifically.
They do, and you called them weeds of distraction, and I just, I loved it, Meredith.
Oh, I'm so glad, that's great.
Thank you. It helped me, actually, so I appreciate you and your writing. So yeah. What have you learned about yourself as you've been writing?
Well, I've learned to actually settle into the gifting. That's been very important and quite a journey in itself because when I first, you know, had written a book, a little bit towards the end of writing the book, I spoke to Jesus quite a bit about it, and this is actually in the book. I said, look, is it prideful, you know, who am I to publish this book, you know, I've had a train wreck of a life, and, you know, who do I think I am? And he basically said to me, you know, I've given you this gifting, and it's actually prideful for you not to embrace the gifting, because if you lessen who I've created you to be, you're actually saying to me, your creator, that you know better than I, who you're supposed to be. And, you know, I've given you the giftings. They don't actually belong to you. You don't have to own them. You just have to let me work with you in my strength. And I'll help you. I will help you with the gifting. I'll help you with the writing. Because, you know, God wants to be glorified. He creates each of us for our good and His glory. And so each of us needs to embrace who He's created us to be. So the journey for me as a writer has gone from being fairly fearful. Who am I? You know, who do I think I am? Blah, blah, blah. Which is all stuff from the enemy, I believe. So now I just really embrace it. I'm excited. I love to write. I've written journals since I was, you know, very young. And I've really just settled into this gifting, and I'm excited. And because I know I'm doing it with Jesus, you know, He's helping me. And I don't have to do it in my own strength. I don't have to struggle. And yeah, it's a really, really exciting journey. Like speaking with you, you know, how exciting. I'm in Australia, you're in America, and
I know
it's great, you know. So that's the journey, and that's what I would say to people. Any sort of gifting that they, you know, those desires of your heart, where you think, oh, I love, you know, cake decorating, or I love taking photos, or I love things that you love to do. They're your giftings, you know. Like they're not your needs, because you know God takes care of our needs. They're the desires of our heart. So I'd encourage people, you know, to just, yeah, to embrace their giftings, because it's not a prideful thing. It's a glorious thing for God.
Oh, you are a beautiful person. Thank you.
Oh, Pat.
Thank you. I
you are too.
Feel very blessed to have this conversation with you. And your daughters are doing well?
Oh, yeah. Like Sarah, my beautiful Sarah, she, In Australia here, we have something called the National Disability Insurance Scheme. And today is actually her birthday.
Oh, my gosh. Happy birthday
yes,
to her.
She's 23, and she's now living in her own unit with 24/7 support from a fabulous team of, we call them lifestyle assistants, who helps her with all her independent her needs. So, you know, shopping and cooking and dressing and, you know, communicating with her device. And she loves it, you know, and she But she speaks on her device, and they said, oh, you know, what do you like best about being, you know, an adult? And she says, being independent. She says, I like learning to be an adult, and I like making my own meals. And aww. As a mum with, you know, a daughter who's had profound challenges, that just,
yep.
You know, she's safe, she's loved, she's cared for, and, from that journey of being so gravely ill to here she is, and, mm-hmm. yeah, she's thriving. And my other daughter, this is interesting, you know, because she is studying Japanese, so here we are, the three of us. Sarah has no speech verbally, speaks with a device. I love words and communicating through writing, and Melissa is... That's my younger daughter. She is learning Japanese to be a translator. So, you know, words wow. in all forms is our family.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. How touching is that? What a beautiful threesome you are. I'm so happy for you. I really am. Happy birthday to her. Give her a hug from me.
Thank you so much, Pat.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, Meredith, we've talked a great deal about your journey, and I'm glad that you shared that with us. I want to make sure we didn't miss anything, though, that you wanted to talk about today.
Yes. There's probably one just more thing that to do, and this goes out to the writers who might be listening to you who have a book in them. A very exciting opportunity, and it's actually on my website. It's the latest blog post, has opened up for me with a lady who lives in Texas. Her name is Eleanor Kangara, and she has a ministry with her husband. And she reached out to me to say to me, you know, she's prayed about this, and my name kept coming up. She has put together a course where she is going to teach people how to write Holy Spirit-inspired books. So an amazing, amazing course she's put together. And she has asked me to be the community support manager for the mastermind community aspect of it and to work with her. And next year I'll be coming to your beautiful America to do Christian meditation retreats with Eleanor, specifically for women writers. So if people want to go to my blog, they will see all the details. There is a free mini training coming up on Monday, this Monday coming, so you just register for the link if people are inclined to do that. And so I am amazingly grateful to God yet again for bringing me a beautiful opportunity. And so, yeah, that's for all the writers who, who think, if you've written a book and they're feeling a bit frustrated because, the book isn't doing as well as they thought, or they believe there's a book in them, because I truly believe everyone has this story, mm-hmm. and this is the time with the internet and self-publishing, which is how I publish,
yes.
more and more people can write their stories more easily than ever before.
Right. Right. Self-publishing has been a beautiful thing to get more voices out there. I agree.
Yes, I agree. It's fabulous.
Well, share then your website and your blog and where folks can learn more about you, purchase your book, and where they can find out more about this opportunity.
Okay, thanks, Pat. My website is it's meredithswift.com, and all the details are on there. And my book is available. It's available as an ebook for $2.99 and a print book for $12.99 US. It's available on Amazon.com and on Barnes and Noble, and it is available in Australia on Amazon.com.au, Fish Pond, and Book Depository. Yes, all of those places. So yeah, you just can go and you know, key in my book into the Amazon search and it'll come up.
Right.
And yeah, and you can order it off my website as well, but I think that's just for America. So my Australian friends, if they listen, yeah, you can't get
right.
So that's where people can reach me. And I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Hearing His Voice. And yeah, and I just love to speak to people. So and encourage people. So any people that want to reach out to me about anything at all that we've spoken of, I'm only too happy to connect with people.
Oh, you're lovely. Yeah. MeredithSwiftAuthor.com. Well, before we head out, any final words that you want to leave us with?
Yes, well, it gets back to Jesus as always. And if people listening, touched by Jesus, or think they want to know more about him, say a prayer to say, Lord Jesus, if you are real, if you're real, just come into my heart, to he transforms every situation. There are so many testimonies. Mine is just one small testimony of the life transformations that Jesus makes just at the very deepest levels of our being, because he is our creator, so he knows us inside out. So that's what I would leave people with. And if people want to reach out to me about that as well, that is, just everything, because I just want people to know Jesus and to know how much he saves and loves all of his creations. We're his children, and he's our Heavenly Father. And it's not about a religious thing, although religion, it's part of it. But for me, Jesus is, he's just my friend, and he's given me everything, everything and more that I could never possibly have dreamt of when I said that prayer those years ago. Yeah.
Wow, Meredith, what spiritual food for thought you've given us today. It's really just been a beautiful, beautiful conversation from a lovely, lovely woman. So I so appreciate your sharing your journey and your books and your wisdom with us today. So thank you so much. I hope we can do this again sometime.
I hope so. And Pat, I just thank you again so much for the opportunity. It was just lovely to be given the opportunity and to connect with you and speak with you, and keep up your good work, because you're doing incredible stuff also.
Well, thank you, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you so much. Same to you.